Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. Amen. Wow. Sometimes Scripture is difficult to sit with, like today's gospel. And when Scripture gets tricky, I often ask, where's the grace in this challenging reading? And then I tend to explain away the tough, uncomfortable parts. Like maybe Jesus is just having a bad day. I mean, it makes me feel better to think that even Jesus had bad days too. I mean, really, if you're anything like me reading today's gospel, don't you get the feeling that Jesus is just having a bad day? Look at his responses to the disciples and his other followers. They come to a village of Samaritans. Jesus had sent people ahead to set up arrangements to stay, but as they arrive, the Samaritans do not welcome them. They do not extend hospitality to Jesus and his disciples. They don't receive him at all, as people thought they would. So James and John suggest something maybe a bit radical. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Though it was radical, it was acceptable as Elijah used to rain fire on his enemies. But Jesus turned away from Jerusalem long enough to rebuke them and tell them there'll be another village. Next, an eager follower shouts out on the road, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replies with a seemingly random story of foxes and birds in contrast to the Son of Man. But there's no destination for Jesus. There's no one for Jesus to stay. When someone calls out, I'll follow you wherever you go, Jesus says, I'm not going to be here much longer. Jesus says to another, follow me. And his response is, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Now, this is a legitimate request, right? I mean, burial of the dead was an extremely sacred obligation. Today, we wouldn't think twice about someone taking the time needed to grieve a death in the family. Yet again, Jesus, seemingly short, says, let the dead bury their own dead. Finally, another hearing of someone calling to Jesus to follow. I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to all the people at my house. This, once again, is not out of the ordinary. We just heard in our first reading that Elisha actually requested from Elijah that he should be able to go and say goodbye to his mother and father. But Jesus reminds this one, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now it's important to know, as we try to figure all this out, Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem. The days are near for him to be taken up, whether on the cross or ascension into heaven. What Jesus is about to do is provide salvation for the world. Jesus is under a lot of pressure, to say the least. To address the 100% human side of Jesus, he's about to leave his family, his whatever is familiar, his followers, and his home to finally ascend into heaven. To address the 100% divine side, Jesus is not messing around here. Rather, he is setting his face towards Jerusalem, whereas the message by Eugene Peterson puts it, when it came close to the time for his ascension, he gathered up his courage and steeled himself for the journey to Jerusalem. Instead of making Jesus' bad day responses to those willing to follow, the more realistic version is Jesus being realistic. A realistic side of Jesus is difficult for me, maybe for us, to sit with. Jesus is forcing the disciples and followers to sit with their intentions, our desires. He says to be a Christian. What's it mean to follow me? Maybe Jesus is telling those willing to follow the real demands in being a Christian. Now, today's culture, the title Christian is very misunderstood, especially in the spectrum of politics. The term Christian holds many, a variety of interpretations, depending on who is using it and to what group they are applying it. Many times I don't even want to be associated with the word when it comes to some far-right conservative groups. So let's set the record straight, at least for this sermon. To be a Christian means to be a follower of Christ and to live by the truth Jesus has taught us. God is love. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Take up your cross. Turn the other cheek. Feed the hungry. Bring good news to the poor. Walk humbly with God. Each one of the examples we hear in our gospel today are scenarios in which we can relate. It's easy to hear James and John's reaction to the Samaritans and smirk, thinking, bring fire from heaven to consume them? A little over the top, isn't it? Well, dealing with the Samaritans was very difficult for the disciples. The Samaritans were a side group of the Jewish people that didn't always agree, especially on rituals. Each of the people of the Jewish faith and those Samaritans who were of the Jewish faith had different ways of looking at religion. Can you imagine that? And they didn't agree. They didn't like each other. Though Jesus welcomed the Samaritans, they didn't want to welcome him because they were going to the Jewish temple of the Judeans and not the Samaritan's temple. Are we not the same? Wouldn't we rather Jesus come and do our will and show up where we wish? Or like the disciples, in our self-righteousness, how many times have I or you, has our country said that other religious groups just need to go away? Even within the umbrella of Lutherans and other Christians, we say, let's just get rid of them. And sometimes we feel we can justify it. It becomes a social norm to reject those who don't see things the way we do. It's about to happen again. If it hasn't already, with the reversal of Roe versus Wade. And this is totally off script, so sorry, Michael. I'm getting weary, people, and I know you are too. Can we go just a week without something nationally happening to separate our country? If it's not a pandemic, if it's not a war across the world, if it's not politics, we can understand why the disciples were like, Jesus, can we just get rid of them? Yet when the disciples asked Jesus if they should consume the Samaritans with fire, Jesus turns and rebukes the disciples for thinking about it. We get back to our scripture. What is wrong with wishing to give loved ones a proper funeral and burial? Or to say goodbye to loved ones as we prepare to leave on a journey? It was culturally and totally appropriate to do so then as it is today. So what is Jesus trying to say or show in his response? I believe Jesus is using some shock factor to radically portray the true nature of Christian discipleship in the most provoking way. Later in Luke, we will hear in chapter 14, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. When Jesus says, the one who places hand to plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean one is not worthy, because none are worthy. Rather, Jesus is requesting us to think, are we suitable? Are we capable? He is saying, those who look back will plow, those who look back while plowing ahead will plow a crooked furrow. Following Jesus requires focus on, requires us to focus on the goal ahead, which is proclaiming the kingdom of God. Therefore, this passage is difficult to sit with. It challenges our tie to our culture, and Jesus puts himself right in the middle by asking, are you willing to be transformed, to step outside of your culture and the norms of day-to-day life to follow me? Considering what the Supreme Court has done the past week, I want to share with you, I do not believe abortion should be used as a form of birth control. And I firmly believe the government should not dictate what any woman, man, or any beloved child of God should be able to do or not do with their body. Now, just because I believe this doesn't mean you should. I come to this belief through my life experience and my theology, and I hope you do the same. But these are the issues that are difficult to work through. We must sit with them in the uncertainty and the discomfort and ask what God is calling us to do. Therefore, I believe Jesus is saying, no matter what responsibilities you have in life, when Jesus asks us to follow in whatever you are doing in life and in our vocation, we need to follow Jesus. Jesus Christ died for you and was raised for you. By grace through faith, you have received resurrection to new life of forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, hope in the coming kingdom of God, membership in the body of Christ, and the calling and equipment to serve God in the world. This is Almighty God's offer to our broken world. We claim this new life. Receive power and peace within it. For every person here, there is a new identity in Christ Jesus. Neighbors and nations can be saved from destructive selfishness and live in caring community. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh as a preview of coming attractions, the consummation of all things in Christ. And all this sounds good, you say. We hear all of these things in church, Pastor, but when we walk out the door, it's not the same. The conditions of the human life in this world seem to contradict the gospel. Nations angrily wage war on another, women's rights being stripped, brother and sister disagree politically, viruses and disease separate families, the hungry multitude, the growing inflation, the dysfunction of political systems, the victims of injustice and bias, all these and more cry out to heaven. And we're supposed to do something about it? Yes. Yes. In our words and our deeds, and sufferings and joys, we are to proclaim the faith we have in Jesus Christ, to follow him. Sometimes we feel very alone, sometimes misunderstood. We may be hurt by others, even our friends. and where we are going to find the courage and wisdom to make concrete decisions on complex issues? In the gospel. In Scripture, of course. So often we attempt to live our lives without the example and teachings of our Lord. To whom shall we go, the disciples say? You have the words of eternal life. Before we shape our commitment to Christ, we should consider his commitment to us. This hurting, disheartened world needs the faithful Christians. Christians who follow Jesus before all else to show love and acceptance to all right now. Are you thinking, I'm not made of the stuff which modern day disciples should be? Then remember this. Jesus is the Savior of the world. We don't have to be. The future doesn't depend on us, but upon him. Jesus goes before us in love, saying, follow me. It's time for us to follow. It's time for us to put the priority above all else, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.